Abba Father, you.
Welcome. You're listening to Living Faith Podcast.
Starry sky and see your hand in time in mind to lead me through the night.
Familiar with, I'm aware of, a young man whose life has been altered by voices. He's a young man who had an amazing personality. Even when he was very young, his disposition was contagious. It's just an absolutely enjoyable person. He was raised in a God-fearing home, a Pentecostal home. He attended a Christian academy. He enjoyed all the wonderful spiritual benefits of an active and powerful congregation. But at some point in his late teen, voices outside the kingdom of God attached themselves to him. People around him, first from his part-time job, then friends of friends. And unfortunately, he allowed the interference of those destructive voices to keep him from godly voices, from the Word of God. It wasn't long before this engaging, fun-loving, charismatic young man was caught up in the raucous parties that were thrown by his new attachments. It was likely in such an environment that someone introduced him to heroin. And an amazing young man went down the rabbit hole of addiction. As you'd expect, his God-fearing parents prayed and prayed for his deliverance. Indeed, they often invited believers to join them in prayer. But as heroin spiraled the fine young man into tragedy after tragedy, his parents and family, they made numerous attempts to get him back. They tried to end the influences that gripped him. When nearly at wit's end, his family learned of a residential, spirit-filled recovery center, a place that was explicitly designed for young men struggling as this one was. So they sacrificed thousands of dollars and they convinced their beloved son and they sent him to another state, praying for success. And their prayer was answered. That center, that facility, was exactly what that young man needed. It was another place. It was different people. It was new voices. And his life turned 180 degrees. I recall his visits back to visit hometown and his family, and I recall how amazingly different he'd become. He was still wonderfully personable, and now there was clarity in his eyes, and there was certainty in his voice, and frankly, there was joy in his spirit. After some months passed and his freedom from heroin remained, he began to miss his family. And his family was missing him. So in time, they missed one another so badly that they felt, you know what? It's time for him to come home. He's clean now. And so he came home. And the destructive voices that attached themselves to him before grabbed on to him again. Back in the same old situations, engaged with the old influences, hearing again the calls of addiction, he surrendered. Captured. Belief and God and the Word of God were silenced afresh by interfering voices. Later, late one night, this special soul broke into a pharmacy, ended up in prison. Hindering voices altered his life. As anyone here who's met my wife, you know, she is amazingly outgoing. My sweet wife is greeting today. If you didn't get a bunch of words from her on your way in, you will on your way out. She enjoys people. I tease her that when she wakes up in the morning, she's immediately talking. I think her mouth opens before her eyes do. She is a talker. Right now, she's talking to Mike about talking. Through her career, she meets many people. And she enjoys lots of fine conversations with most people. On one occasion, it led to some conversations that she started to feel had a different tone. So after my wife had mentioned to this person in one of their conversations something about her faith and something about my role as a pastor, the person came to the following conversations with some questions. And at first, it seemed like she wanted to know more about our faith, more about being filled with the Spirit and how we live out our faith in Christ. In fact, the person confessed in conversation, "I've been checking out things online. I've been looking at some websites about Spirit-filled people. I've been researching the United Pentecostal Church with which we're affiliated. You know, whatever you want to research, let me just offer this. Whatever you want to believe, there's somebody online that believes it. And whatever you don't want to believe, there's somebody online who doesn't believe it. This is not research." So this person then would approach my wife with a list of questions. No more would they begin to talk about things they typically would. But here come the questions. And after a few conversations, my wife sensed something is different. And so Rebecca and I, my wife, we begin to review the dialogue. And my wife noted this. She says, I'm not sure she's asking because she wants to believe. I feel like she's challenging what I believe. And so I offered this suggestion. I said, I tell you what, next time the questions start, why don't you say this? And here's what my wife said. She said, you know, you got lots of questions about my faith and being filled with the Spirit. Sounds to me like you want to be a Pentecostal. Why don't we get together and study the Bible and find out what God has in store for you? There were no more questions. That was the end. No more interest in what my wife believes and lives. You know, we love conversations with the sincerely curious. It's one of the things that comes to the top in our faith groups throughout the week, the dialogue and the conversation and the discussion. I observed this. I was thinking this. I've been living this. How have you managed that? What's the Bible say about this? It's one of the powerful things about faith groups and conversations about the things of God. We love that opportunity. In the same regard, contrary conversations are different. This person addressing my wife didn't want to believe. She wasn't interested in the word personally. Rather, she wanted to dissuade my wife from her faith. She wanted to destroy God's word in her life. Rather than a personal desire for God and His word, this was a person that was seeking to discredit and demean God's word. My wife continued other interactions and conversations with that person, but she also made it clear, I'm not going to entertain attacks. My early years of ministry were spent investing in young people. More than 15 years working particularly with teens and 20-somethings. I chaperoned youth trips. I directed youth camps and conventions. I led missions trips around the world, even taught young people in high school. I ministered in more youth meetings than I can count. I remember a particular youth convention when a special young person in my youth group, Billy Kreider. Billy was praying around the front area following that evening's sermon. Something that was said, something from the Word, a story that was told, had gripped Billy's heart, and he made his way around the front and was reaching out to God. I was aware of Billy's recent status. I was happy to see him reaching out to God. I knew that he needed to pray. But it wasn't going well. I looked over and Billy had his hands raised, but his head was pointed way down and to the side, almost like he was steering clear or something. Well, on the other side of Billy was Yelling Man. Had a hold of Billy's arms and was yelling in his face. Now, I hope the man's motives were right, but his practices were foolish. Am I clear? Just yelling at the kid. No wonder the boy's going like this. Who could even pray, let alone think, with somebody yelling in your face? His head's dropping down. My heart was going out for Billy. I knew he needed to pray, and I knew that wasn't working. There was no victory taking place. I don't care who holds your hands up. There's no victory when you got to put... Am I all right here? I believe in raising your hands, but I don't believe in foolishness. So I looked around the front area, and I saw Bubba. Bubba Brzezinski. You can't make a name like that up. Bubba Brzezinski was called Bubba because from the time he was a toddler, he was a tank. And old Bubba's a big old boy. So I walked over to Bubba and I said, Bubba, look over there. Billy's trying to pray, and Yelling Man is in his face. Here's what we're going to do, Bubba. We're going to get over there, and I'm going to push you, and you're going to push Yelling Man until he's out of the way. Bubba looked at me startled, eyes great big, like we're playing football in the prayer area? Yes, we are. So we made our way over there. I started pushing Bubba, and old Bubba just started pushing. He just moved. And pretty soon, Yellow Man was off to the side, and Bubba was right in front of Billy. I stepped in where Billy could hear. I didn't yell in his face, but I began to encourage him. The Lord loves you, Bill. God's got a plan for your life. As the song said, God's not done with you yet. There's more things to be accomplished. Why don't you lift your face, son? Why don't you raise your eyes and your voice? And why don't you just begin to tell God what's on your mind? Why don't you talk to Jesus like your closest friend and tell him what's bothering you and what you're struggling with and what you need from him? Why don't you let him know if there's something that you're ashamed of or afraid of or battling in your life, and let's see what God will do for you. Pretty soon, old Billy's face changed. He began to speak from his heart and in sincerity and genuineness, and tears began to come down his face and his smile began to come across his face, and pretty soon he was being refreshed by the power of the Holy Spirit in his life, and God was moving in him and around him. I turned to Bubba and I said, Bubba, don't move. You stay here and pray with Billy. And I went around. It was a large area, and I began to speak and to encourage other young people and to work with other teens. And later on in the course of that prayer service, I looked back, and Bubba had left his post, and Yelling Man was back in Billy's face. And don't you know, this is what was happening. You know, day in and day out, there are many voices in our lives that are encouraging and inspiring, and that call us into great things. There are, thank God, influences that are helpful and uplifting in every one of our lives. And even when voices and influences are not particularly positive, many of our encounters are neutral. There's really no spiritual impact one way or another as we talk here and there and visit and socialize in these settings. And yet, I want to share today in this short message, on occasion, there are voices that are harmful and influences that interfere. Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse number 4, the Bible records this. So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went down to the seaport of Seleucia and then sailed for the island of Cyprus. There, in the town of Salamis, they went to the Jewish synagogues and preached the word of God. John Mark went with them as their assistant. Look at verse 6. Afterward, they traveled from town to town across the entire island until they finally reached Paphos, where they met a Jewish sorcerer, a false prophet named Bar Jesus. Verse 7. He had attached himself to the governor, Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent man. The governor invited Barnabas and Saul to visit him, for he wanted to hear the word of God. Sergius Paulus, his given name, his Roman name, he's governor. He's got authority. He's influential. In fact, the Bible says he's intelligent. Now, I read the Bible a lot, and I tell you, when I saw that, it struck me as unusual. And I looked in the New King James Version, and this is the only time the word intelligent is used in that translation. In other modern translations, you can't find intelligent or intelligence as a descriptor, even used a half a dozen or 10 times. Thank God you don't have to have an IQ measurement of certain amount to follow Jesus Christ. It's not a basis. It's not a prerequisite that you have to have a certain ability mentally. And yet, it's part of the story. It matters here. There's a reason it's included. He's influential. He's a leader. He's a governor. He's thoughtful. He's bright. As the Brits would say, he's clever. Sergius invited Barnabas and Saul, come and visit me. Will you come and to my house, to my place, to my offices, and will you share with me the word of God? I want to hear about the word of God. But attached to the governor was Bar Jesus, a Jewish sorcerer. He had an ability to deceive. He was able to perform some intriguing things. I believe that the name he assigned and taken and chose, Bar Jesus, is no accident. His name means son of Joshua, son of Savior. To the casual hearer, the name implies associated with Jesus, kind of like Jesus, close to Jesus, Bar Jesus. When in fact, he's a false prophet. He's an imitation. He's similar, but wrong. He is errant. He's untrue. And Bar Jesus had attached himself to the governor, Sergius Paulus. Bar Jesus was a hanger-on. He was a groupie. He was connected to the governor prior to any word of God discovery. He's a relation. He's a friend. He's a connection from the pre-Jesus era. And we further realize this. Nowhere in the passage does it talk about Bar Jesus being interested in the word of God. He doesn't want the teaching of Paul and Barnabas. He's not interested for himself. There's no personal desire for faith. And look at verse number 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer, as his name means in Greek. Had a Greek name and a Hebrew name, whatever fit the occasion. But Elymas the sorcerer interfered and urged the governor to pay no attention to what Barnabas and Saul said. He was trying to keep the governor from believing. You got an intelligent leader. No doubt Sergius Paulus enjoyed many good people in his life, in his governance, in his day-to-day operations. No doubt he had dialogue with other good people and other helpful people, people that were inspiring, encouraging, people that are neutral, just common interactions in the family and the workplace. But I want us to recognize that that's who's the concern in this story. In this story, there's one person that the scripture points out is trouble, and not just accidental trouble, but intentional trouble. A person with an agenda, an unbeliever who doesn't want Sergius to believe in God and his word, not because he cares for Sergius, but because of his own agenda. You see, Bar-Jesus realized that faith in God was a threat to his own influence. His sorcery would no longer be impressive. His insights would be no longer valid. So Elymas, attached to the governor, presents himself as being helpful and an advisor, but actually he stood in the way between Sergius and the word of God. You know, even intelligent, desirous people can be restricted by wrong influences. Influences that are self-serving, that are contrary, that are anti-Christ. Intelligence, desire, these are wonderful and important things, but they're insufficient to detect false prophets. Sergius, for whatever reason, I've known him for a long time. He's been around we've been friends since we played football together in high school. We've been friends since we sang choir together in junior high. I've known him. He's been a family friend and connection. He joined on to me and started helping me long before I was ever governor, and he's been helpful and been positive influence, but Sergius didn't see it. He didn't realize that Elymas, Bar-Jesus, was contrary to Christ. But others were not fooled. Verse number 9, the Bible says this: Saul, also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked the sorcerer in the eye. Here's where the story kicks into second gear right here. Now we get a picture of the power and the authority of a holy Savior protecting those that are hungry for him. Now we get a picture of a man filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looks the sorcerer in the eye, and he recognizes this isn't an ordinary influence. This isn't a neutral influence. This isn't somebody who's just hanging on to catch on to some fame. Here is a problem. In verse number 10, the Bible says this: Then Paul said, "You son of the devil, full of every sort of deceit and fraud, enemy of all that is good." How does he really feel, huh? "Will you never stop perverting the true ways of the Lord?" This is how the Holy Spirit views false prophets like Bar-Jesus. While his name implies Son of Savior, the Spirit of the Lord sees the truth and calls him out as son of the devil, full of every sort of lies and trickery, twisting the true ways of the Lord of glory. You see, Bar-Jesus, he was clever enough to fool the intelligent, but not to fool the power of the Holy Spirit, not to fool those that are filled with the glory of God. The Holy Spirit reveals truth. The Holy Spirit isn't tricked. It's not duped by some helpful appearance. The Spirit sees the wolf beneath the sheep's wool, and the Spirit does not allow believers, those with a measure of faith, to be succumbed to the power of a deceiver. But rather, when we call on the power of a holy God, He'll step in, He'll confront, He'll call it what it is and point it out. The deceit and fraud stops upon the action of the Spirit, Paul illustrated in verse number 7. Watch now, for the Lord has laid His hand of punishment upon you. You'll be struck blind. You will not see the sunlight for some time. Instantly, mist and darkness came over the man's eyes. He began groping around, begging for someone to take his hand and lead him. By the power of the Holy Spirit, interference ended. Hindrance removed. Attachment severed. And then the Bible says this in verse 12. When the governor saw what had happened, he became a believer, for he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. Oh, understand with me today, when the perverting voice was silenced, when the confusion was muted, Sergius then could hear Paul and Barnabas teaching about the Lord of glory. When the squawking and the quacking, when yelling man was pulled away from the face of a desirous soul, the Word of God was clearly presented, and the Word was able to change the man's life. He became a believer. The governor became a believer. And that's his story. That's his story. But as we've attempted to do in all the messages in the series, what's his story have to do with my story? What's his experience speak to my experience? I remind listeners today that as you and I have interest in and pursuit of the Word of God, as we invite people like Paul and Barnabas or whatever the names are, Sally and Georgette, whatever, we invite them to share the Word of God with us. I want us to appreciate that we are in a kingdom battle, and the enemy of our souls is not going to sit back and relinquish his influence in our lives. That prior to any knowledge, any understanding of Jesus Christ, there were hangers-on, there are people attached, there are voices that have influenced and affected us. Now, listen, we cannot be surprised to face some level of interference. Hear me today. I'm not preaching high-level suspicion for everybody you look at. I'm not talking about everyone. I'm not talking even about most people. But I am, as a man of God, trying to lead a congregation to follow the shepherd. We got to be aware that steps toward Jesus can be met with hindering influences like Elymas, people like the yelling man. Kind of funny, I'm yelling right now, isn't it? At least I'm not in your faith. So what I really want to bring to our attention and our understanding today, what I hope someone to hear and receive, is that in your spirit, in your understanding, in your life, perhaps you've taken some steps toward Christ, and you've raised your hands in a beginning surrender and worship of Him, and yet you find yourself with your head down. You find yourself at a place of fearfulness, intrigue. I want you to hear me today. Learn from the story of the governor. Maybe what's going on is there are some voices
that are preventing you from full freedom in Christ. Someone that's presented themselves to you as special. Someone who's professed or acted to you as gifted. Someone who's attached themselves, maybe carried over from our life before Christ. I preach today that by the Holy Spirit, we can discern. In fact, it's been my prayer through this week and from our leadership opening this day, that even while I've been speaking and sharing stories, names and faces have come to your mind. And even as I shared these things, you thought, sometimes I feel that way around. Sometimes it feels like they're doing that to me. I want us to know beyond human intelligence, the Holy Spirit reveals attitudes and words and actions that are against God. Is there an element who, when I'm around them, my faith suffers? Is there someone in my life whose words and actions drain my confidence in God? Is there a person whose actions keep me from God's word? I mean, just really play with you in the practical. Does it happen pretty often that when you go to spend your time in devotion, in reading the word and having some prayer, that there's a person who seems to text you every time or many times? Is there an individual or a circumstance that as you try to make commitment to be engaged with the people of God, to be involved in a small group, to be involved in a Saturday worship, it seems like their challenges, their troubles, and their attachment to you becomes most needed when you're trying to move toward God? Does he seem to sap my kingdom energy? Does she instill and increase doubt in my life? Is he interfering with my faith? Is her voice constantly coming between me and God? I preach today for awareness. I preach today for the power of the Holy Ghost in everyone who would follow Jesus. And I preach today to understand that if there are voices like that, in order for me to hear the word purely, that hindrance has got to stop. That voice has got to be neutralized. I'm not going to grow. I'm not going to benefit. I'm not going to be astounded at what God has for me as long as I allow the hindrance of Bar-Jesus to hold me back. So what do I do, preacher? How do I end that interference? Like the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit within us and the Holy Spirit working through others. Courage and confidence by the Holy Spirit. You might have thought to yourself, as I did when I went through that passage, and Paul looks into the eye of the sorcerer, and then he just unloads. I don't know about you, but I don't see myself talking like that. You son of the devil. I mean, that's direct. How long are you going to pervert everything that's true? Look at your Bibles. It's an exclamation point. You talk about yelling. Paul was letting her go. And perhaps when you hear that, you understand that there's something in your own temperament, in your own nature that says, I don't think I have the ability to confront. I don't think I have the ability to tell someone to stop. Hear me. That wasn't Paul. That was Paul, full of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not in any way suggesting that right out of the gate, you and I just get wide open loud at somebody that might be element. No. But by the power of the Holy Ghost, you know what you and I can do? Listen, I don't appreciate the direction of this conversation. I'm confident in my faith, and as a friend, you shouldn't be tearing it down. I'm confident in the changing power of the blood of Jesus and his Spirit living within me. And if you're going to challenge my faith, if you're going to determine to challenge my faith, maybe you shouldn't be calling me as often. Maybe we won't be having coffee as much. I wouldn't want to see that, but I'm not going to. Now, you want to study the Bible? You want to be filled with the Spirit? You got questions about what I believe? Come on. It's not about the questions. It's about the attitude. It's not about the seeking for answers. It's about the motive. How do I know the motive, preacher? You know the motive by the Spirit of the Lord telling you and understanding in you. This is, they don't want to know. They're holding you back to be led by the Spirit. If you're timid, it's hard for you to be vocal. It's hard for you to take a stand. The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that allowed you to speak in a heavenly language that you never thought in school, never taught in school, never understood in school, that same Holy Spirit can give you the words you need to say to push Bar Jesus at a realm. Let me just address something right now. Well, people might think that is rude. Isn't it rude for them to attack your faith? I'm not talking about obnoxiousness. I'm talking about standing up for what you believe. I'm talking about having a confidence in the kingdom of God. I love you. I appreciate you. I've known you this long, that long. I work with you, blah, 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 blah. But I'm going to need you to respect what I believe. I still don't know if I can do that, preacher. I'm not sure I have the strength. I have the authority. I don't know if I have the confidence in the Holy Spirit that I need to have. Ah, the benefit of association with a house full of Pauls and Barnabases. I'm not real sure, preacher. You know, I don't want to just get in somebody's face and it's not what's going on. Ah, the association of Paul and Barnabas. I can go to Brother Christian and say, listen, man, I got a situation. And I can explain it to him. And I can say, pray with me. I'm going to be praying. I want the power of the Holy Ghost, but I want you to pray with me. I'm intelligent and, you know, I lead some people and I'm a governor and such, but I need another perspective from another spirit-filled individual. Will you pray with me? Will you help me? Alicia, will you do the same? Will the two of you bind together and we'll come back to you and ask you what you're feeling and knowing and understanding? And when I can't discern, I can depend on, are you with me?
Yeah.
Would you bow your heads? Holy, loving Savior, I'm confident that your glorious word and spirit are ministering in this house right now. Lord, I know that you are revealing some things. Not everyone in here faces this challenge. Not right now, maybe in the past, maybe in the future. But in this house, there are some. Watching online, there are some. And they haven't understood why their belief has been stalled, why their desiring of your word has been hindered, why their pursuit of your glory has hurdles in the way. Oh, Lord, I invite right now your revelation of your glory to move and minister in every man and woman. I invite you, oh, Lord, to make it plain in lives of hungry people, desirous people, who want to know you in a greater way, help them to recognize and realize. Now we're going to call on the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to invite everybody in this house, if you will, to stand. Would you stand all over this place? And if you desire the leading and the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit, would you just raise your hands all over this place and invite that right now? If you don't need that right now, pray that someone else receives it right now. Lord, we're inviting a move of your Spirit. We're inviting the authority of your glory in this place right now. We're inviting, oh God, the discernment and the revelation. We're inviting, oh God, that you would open the eyes of myself and those around me. We're inviting, oh Lord, the divine work of your Spirit, oh God. Help me to know. Help me to understand. Bring power, oh Lord. Bring authority, oh Lord. Bring the words that I need to say. Bring the confidence, oh God, that I need. Come on, don't doubt right now. You may doubt yourself. You may doubt your situation, but there's no doubt in our Heavenly Father. There's no doubt in the power of God. There's no doubt in confidence in Him. He can. He will. He'll release. He'll remove. He will separate. He will sever that voice that hinders and challenges.
Come on, begin to speak in Jesus' name right now. Somebody begin to declare in Jesus' name. Somebody begin to declare in the name of Jesus. I will not be hindered. I will not be confused. I will not be derailed. I will not be withheld. But by the power of the Spirit, by the authority of a divine Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to let our prayers now continue on and even move into another dimension, because you could play the role of Paul or Barnabas to us, to a governor. You could play the role of a disciple to somebody who's being held back. You know what I believe? I believe there's some Bubba Brzezinskis in the audience today. I believe there's some that'll use the authority of the Holy Ghost to push a yelling man out of the way so that somebody can hear the power of God's word and the authority of God's word. If you know somebody right now who's got a taste for faith, who wants to believe the word, but they're struggling, and it might be a bar Jesus that's holding them back, would you reach your hands into the air right now and begin to pray in the name of Jesus? Would you pray against whatever would confuse them as you prayed for yourself? Now pray for somebody else. Would you pray against what would hold them back? Pray against what would hinder them. Pray against the voices that would confuse. Pray for freedom. Pray for clarity. Pray for fullness of revelation. Hallelujah, that's awesome. I'm thankful for all in the house that are reaching out to the Lord. Somebody said, in Jesus' name. First of all, I apologize. I did not bring you all forward as I professed. It just seemed like the moment allowed where we would pray wherever we are. And you don't have the perspective I do, but I can tell you that front to back and side to side, people praying. I wish I could tell you that following Jesus was always easy. I wish I could tell you that you just make a quick decision and everything else is berries and cream from that day forward. But the Bible simply does not support that. When you read this book, and you recognize stories like the governor, you realize there are occasions that require some determination. There are occasions when it requires some holy boldness. Oh yeah, there are amazing, powerful, glorious times. There are healings, there are deliverances, there are amazing transformations of individuals. All of those stories are in this great book. I don't want to belittle those. They're real, they're true, they're exactly there. I need to make it clear. There are occasions. Not everybody, not most people, not many people. Once in a while, the bar Jesus attaches themselves. For our faith to succeed, we must have the revelation and the boldness of the Holy Spirit to handle that situation with wisdom, knowledge, with confidence. Because there are astonishing things ahead in the kingdom of God. And I simply do not want anyone, anything, any voice keeping me from that. Let me just throw this out there while I'm at it, being a little pastoral. Maybe your Elymas isn't actually a person. Maybe it's a YouTube channel. Maybe it's a series you binge. Maybe it's a social media site. Maybe it's a podcast. But you have to recognize that the influence of that is not bringing joy and fullness in God, but it's making me do this. Well, if that's happening, cancel it, delete it, end it, remove it. Why would you do that? You want to live like this? Have at it. I want to live like this. When he's got more to teach me, I want to be all ears. I don't want any confusing bandwidths, any deceiving voices. I want to be all ears and open heart as he leads and guides me into all truth. Would you just thank the Lord for his mercy and kindness in this place today? Would you do that? Come on, raise your voice right now. Thank him for his interest in your life. Thank him for the truth of his word. Thank him for the move of his spirit. Thank him for fellow disciples. Come on, thank him for a possibility that my sins can be washed away, that my heart can be filled with faith, that my spirit can be meshed with his spirit. What a joyful opportunity we have in the kingdom of God. What a pleasure. What an opportunity we have in him.
You've been listening to the Living Faith Everett podcast series. Tune in next week for the next part of this series, or join us online at livingfaithministries.church.
In the Holy Ghost, you give me peace.